This is Iconic.
Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and today we are starting a brand new season of the Iconic podcast. We are actually going to do a season of actual play, where we are going to play test the new 13th Age second edition rules. And starting with our session next month, we are going to actually enjoy the presence of Becca's best friend, Rob Hainso himself. But tonight we are going to start by playtesting 13th Age second edition. We're going to start a campaign. We're going to explain it to you. This is going to be a slightly different format for season 7. We're going to see how it goes. We're going to edit the episode and maybe we will start streaming this, but I think at least to start, it'll just be a recording that then goes out into the airwaves of the Iconic podcast. That doesn't mean we won't do spotlight episodes where we talk about the 13th Age podcast, where we talk about the 13th Age Kickstarter, or where we talk about the playtest itself. But tonight, let's start off by introducing the 80% of our playtest group. And I told her that she gets to introduce her character first, because the title of the campaign is Becca's Character Must Die. So, Becca, please introduce yourself. Tell us about your character, who you're going to be playing at least for the first time in this campaign, and what you thought interesting about some of the changes between 13th Age 1, and if you noticed any for 13th Age 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm Becca. I am back again for this podcast playing Ava Green Thumb, a halfling ranger. I do not have an animal companion, which is kind of a weird thing for a ranger not to have. Instead, I picked up the talent of skirmisher. And what that allows me to do is that if I only take two actions in a turn, I can take two more later on. So in theory, I could hit with my two weapon attack four times in this round, in theory. It's the possibility that counts. So I'm excited to check this out, doing my best to see if I can break this character in class. I've been lucky enough to kind of see some other new rules in the 13th Age edition, and the cleric looks interesting. So once Tava dies some terrible death, where she's mauled and ripped apart by something, I'll probably come back as a cleric with the Gods of the Icons talents.
What's your one unique thing?
My one unique thing is I am the last heir to the Dukedom of Green Thumb, which was destroyed by a hellhole.
So they just like sucked, okay?
Yeah, it was just sucked in. I survived, but I'm the last heir, so does that mean my parents aren't around?
You brought an orphan to a 13th Age party.
It seems like it. Well, I brought the potential for an orphan. I'm leaving whether or not her family is around ambiguous.
And what are your icon relationships?
I have +2 with the High Druid and a -1 with the Diabolus.
We won't jump to our other heir yet. We'll jump over to the other previous host of the Iconic podcast, the one, the only, Mark. Mark, tell us who you are playing and your one unique thing and what you think of the new mechanic, at least before we start playing.
I am playing Grognar, the half-orc barbarian. And with that, I'm going to try the new Surging Rage rules, where instead of, I believe it was a daily, if you wait till your escalation die is 4, then it's free. It's like, no one waits. I'm going to try Surging, where I make a basic save to try to rage, and then I have to make saves to continue raging. So I might go in and out of rage throughout the battle, which should be fun. But we'll give it a try. If he dies, I have a paladin in the backup, because I like paladins too. But we'll also have to maybe kill somebody else before he can come. But in true Iconic fashion, my one unique thing is I contain the soul of the white. And we'll see where that goes. If he lives
the
that
white
long.
One of the new icons?
No, the white. That voice you've heard we'll introduce here in a bit. The white is the great dragon of the white dragon.
I literally just remembered as he said it. I was like, okay, dragon.
Bound and killed by the wizard king before the ages began. Good stuff.
Excellent.
All right. Evan.
And I have a icon relationship with the Hydrood, positive, Orc Lord, conflicted, and a three, conflicted. Because I'm kind of monstrous, but I don't know, maybe it's that nagging thing inside me that makes it conflicted instead of just wholehearted into the city of monsters. So we'll see how Grognar does.
All right. Evan, friend of the show, fellow co-host of the Exploring Glorantha show. Evan, go ahead and introduce your character. Tell us about your one new thing and anything you noticed about the 13th Age 2 playtest.
Absolutely. So I am playing a paladin. His name is Harrier. You can call him Harry. And Wheelwright. Now, he also at least was raised in an orphanage, but he serves the Emperor now. He was raised in the cathedral's orphanage. And looking at the paladin, it felt like they beefed up the options for the paladin and gave both more things to choose between to sort of customize, and also gave some more oomph to the sort of standard options. You know, there was a lot for the first edition that the paladin was very straightforward, but sometimes the combat could be sort of samey. It's like, I attack, I divine smite. I attack again, I smite again. And this, I think there's some more interesting things. Of course, there will be plenty of smiting because evil must be defeated. Harrier or Harry has a plus one with the Emperor, also a plus one with the Priestess, and a minus one with the Lich King. Now, his one unique thing is, let's go over here and look at it. My one unique thing is that something that Harrier has could destroy the Lich King or restore the life of the Wizard King.
Ooh.
But he doesn't know what it is that he has. And in some ways, maybe that's even the same result. If you revive the Wizard King, do you not destroy the Lich King? I don't know. Or maybe it's two different, like you can just destroy him and he's gone. I don't know. But I think the Lich King is maybe concerned. Maybe he wants to experiment on me. I don't know, but evil must be destroyed and defeated, and I don't like the undead. So, I mean, it's a prejudice, but no, I'm working through it.
Yeah, you're working through it violently.
Well, yes, I choose violence. Also, one last thing. I'm super personable, and I like a good song. In fact, a good hymn to get us into battle. When appropriate, will be forthcoming.
Because you took the voice of song.
I did.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that class feature?
Sure. So it allows a paladin to take a bard song shift it so that it is useful for a paladin. So if there is a bard in the party, I might be stepping on a toe or two, but I think we will be able to harmonize very well, actually.
All right. And last, but definitely not least, Ben. So Ben, you and Becca share writing credits in 13th Age books. So, Ben, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, who you are going to be playing, what your one unique thing is, if you want to talk up Drakenhall, because we're obviously going to be pretty close to Drakenhall thanks to your background and Becca's background.
Excellent.
Let's start this off.
All right. So, as Jay mentioned, friend of the show, I'm on a couple other shows that Iconic does. And I've been playing with Jim for quite a while. He's an awesome GM, and I'm excited to be able to play in 13th Age with him. So,
suck up.
Best 25 cents worth of coffee I've ever spent.
So, I am going to be playing a human fighter because I sort of feel like if you're going to test a new system, you should kick the tires. Start with the basics. Plus, I know having played 13th Age before, they really did go the distance, making the fighter fun to play. So I'd love to get a sense for it in the second and the new edition. So I am playing a human fighter. Hector Isinglass. He is one unique thing is he is the sole male heir of the Lords of High Rock and has unclaimed ancestral holdings in Drakenhall, which mostly was just because I just really, really enjoyed writing in the Drakenhall book and was secretly hoping to force JM to go back.
Well, it's worked.
Excellent. So, some of his backgrounds as such are exiled noble, knight errant, would-be dragon slayer, which tied to his icon relationships, he has a -2 with the three. In particular, he has an axe to grind with the blue, but I suppose the other two will also...
Literally?
Yeah, well, if it came down to it. And then a +1 with the emperor, as he at least sees himself as a member of the nobility. One of the new features for Fighter is something called Combat Rhythm, where the Fighter in 13th Age is you're basically always hitting, either when it's a miss or on a certain when the die, escalation die or a certain natural rolls on your d20, you're always taking action. But this Combat Rhythm sort of mixes that, that constant attack, that constant movement up a little bit by prioritizing on basically flipping you back and forth between defense and offense and letting you have a certain, I guess, essentially roll 2d20 when you are rolling on correct to match your rhythm. You get to roll and pick the better of the two. So, right.
But defensive maneuvers do half damage.
Correct. So again, the idea that you're sort of, that there is a natural rhythm to combat and that you're sort of tapping into that, that push and go to really sort of reach peak potential, so to speak. So looking forward to trying that out, seeing what that looks like.
All right. So some of the changes that I want to cover early on, we won't necessarily cover a lot of the changes early on. This is our session zero. Get a feel for the technology that we're using. See if we can our systems can handle streaming this game, or if we're just going to, you know, record it in a fun, friendly fashion and send that out into the iconosphere. But there are two things you guys need to know of that are pretty major changes. First of all, you have more death saves in 13th Age 2nd Edition. Like normally, it's 3 and then you're out, right? You fail your 3rd, you're out. In this edition, you get more than that, but they don't clear till the end of combat, which means if you keep getting knocked down,
gotcha,
you have a chance of dying at the end of it. And if you failed at least one failure carries to the next battle. So you start off harder to kill, but the farther along it goes between full heal ups, the more likely you are to, if you get into a death cycle, the more likely you are going to need to use the flee rule. The second mechanic I want to point out is that I'm using the tougher battles rule because this group has played a lot of 13th Age. And one of the promises of 13th Age 2nd Edition is that none of the monster math is going to change. So you can use all the monsters from the current bestiaries without change in the new edition. But there is this acknowledgement, and I'm sure you have all felt the same pain I have, of gosh darn it, these characters are too hard to kill. I just want one of them to die. Usually when Mark brings a freshly painted mini to the campaign. So for players who are veterans of the game and know how to make things synergize and really know how to make the system sing, there are rules for making the fights tougher, and we're going to use them. And last but not least, icon relationships, the way you roll for them, have completely changed. So in 13th Age, first edition, you would take 3d6 and you would roll them, 1 point for each icon relationship that you had. On a 6, you received a point of icon relationship to call in over the course of that session. On a 5, you got to call that in with a potential or with a complication. Rob and Jonathan have learned a lot since that initial design. And one of the things that a lot of people liked was the way the runes worked in 13th Age Glorantha, which Evan and I are quite familiar with, which guaranteed you a icon relationship, or a rune in that case, no matter what. So the way icon relationships now work in 13th Age 2nd Edition is at the start of every session, you again roll 3d6, one for each icon relationship that you have. The highest number that you roll is your icon relationship for the session. If you rolled, say, a 5 with the Emperor, a 3 with the Diabolist, and a 1 with the Lich King, you have an icon relationship with the Emperor. If you roll a 5 with the Emperor and a 5 with the Diabolist and a 1 with the Lich King, well, you now have 2 icon relationships to call in over this session. If you roll 3 fives or heck, 3 ones, then all of your icon relationships are available for this venture. So before we get into the rolling, allow me to set the stage. You find yourself on the northern part of the Midland Sea, not far from Drakenhall, the city of monsters. The four of you find yourselves on a small town on the edge of the Koru Behemoth Path, nestled between the Goldleaf River and the Spiderwood, an area controlled nominally by the Elf Queen. In a small town along the edge of the Koru Path, you find yourself in the town of Lookup. The reason it is called Lookup is because it's on the path of the Koru Behemoth. So when they pass, everyone, you know, looks up to make things sure things are not falling from the sky. Depending what chapter you're using of the Koru Behemoths, that could be anything from creatures to monster to magically charged excrement. But the town of Lookup is a small bucolic town, mainly inhabited by halflings, gnomes, a couple of dwarves, having found a place here, a refuge here, if you will, after the fall of Hyrok.
So what you're telling me is that it's they're the ones who tell you the reason it's called Lookup is because of the Koru Behemoth, but
yeah,
they still look up to everybody?
Yeah, they look up to everybody.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Gotcha. I've been reading a lot of Pratchett. So at this point, I need you all to roll your icon relationships. Tell me what your highest die is. And then in order of die result, I'm going to ask you to tell me why you find yourself in Lookup. 2 for Becca with the High Druid. Ben, what was your highest die?
My highest die was a 6.
With?
For the Emperor.
And tell me why you were here based off your icon relationship. Mark, what was your highest die?
Yeah, my first 2 rolls were 2s. I was like, great! Then I rolled a 6 with the 3.
I rolled a 6 with the Emperor and smaller numbers with the Priestess and the Lich King. So.
All right. And I've got Becca. Becca, so what about your connection with the High Druid has drawn you to the town of Lookup?
Well, I am a halfling, and I'm the High Druid, and Jeannie sent me here to check out Lookup, and she thought I could just blend in really well because I look like everybody else. So I'm here to check out something. She didn't tell me exactly what I should look for, but I'll know it when I see it.
Ben, what has brought you here in the service of the Emperor?
Well, as it happens, we're near Drakenhall. And whenever I'm near Drakenhall, I am, of course, looking for proof that I can take back to the Emperor himself to prove my claim to my ancestral holdings within Hyrok. So that is probably largely what I'm doing here in Lookup, is that for some reason I've heard that there might be maybe an ancient document of some sort or something lost from the fall that I potentially could recover and would in fact prove my my noble lineage and rights. Not that the blue cares, but I care.
You care. Just because the rule of law is not cared for by some, does that mean that you have the right to ignore it? Grognar, what brings you to this halfling village?
I had enough of Drakenhall, so I'm just traveling, and this happened to be a place to stop.
All right.
Where can I find a chair that's properly sized?
And Harrier, what about you?
Well, I am an officer of the Emperor's Justice Bureau, and I have been dispatched on patrol for to root out injustice, and also to there is some concern. The Justice Bureau's intelligence arm has informed me that there could be agents of the Lich King about. So, following those leads and following orders, because that's important, I have come to look up.
Well, as you stand there, Harrier, explaining all of this to a halfling in a sea of halflings who have kind of gathered around you, the one on the fence kind of scratches hairless jowls. It's like, well, I've not seen any agents of the Lich King. Our graveyard does seem to be in working order. Priests do all the rights and right all the wrongs, and well, wrongs get punished. Yeah, I mean, I've been mayor here for 30 years and ain't seen no sign of Lich King. No. And you hear, here, here, man, Bunyip, here, here. But you're welcome to look around. Look thank down, you. Look I left, will... look right, look all around and look up.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate your assistance and support. I will try to make my investigation as non-intrusive and expeditious as possible.
Well, intrusions go, I prefer non-intrusive. You may, however, far be it for me to speak ill of any traveler along the road. Like, as one, all of the halflings sort of look towards the inn. We did see a slightly unsavory fellow come through here. Broken several dishes. Several hankers of mead. Says that it is a sign among his people that the food is good and the drink is good, but I'm afraid he's racking up a powerful toll of bills.
Well, has he proven unable to pay them?
Well, you know, Sister Francis Aloysius has not actually said so, but, you know, it is his inn. Not if you're an adjudicator and a unintrusive, expeditious member of the judicious patrol. Well, as mayor of this town, I'd appreciate it if you go ensure that this fella is not destructive above his means.
If there's some assistance that the Justice Bureau of the Emperor needs to lend to local law enforcement.
Well, our sheriffs, they do roam.
Are they roaming away and not here taking care of law and order and lookup at the moment, or?
Well, in general, they roam around, look up. They look out for look up, as the saying goes. But there are three of them undercover at the inn. Look, the big straw hat.
Are they undercover at the inn because that is a way that they can spend their day drinking and eating?
How dare you, sir? On expense account. The honor of my sheriffs, halflings, unlike some others in the Empire, have maintained not but the greatest of respect and decorum for the offices which the Emperor dispenses to us. No.
Of
no,
course.
Sir.
I meant
and he
no
climbs
offense.
A little bit higher on the fence so that he now stares directly into your collarbone.
I will continue to look down on
you, sir, shall conduct yourself with the interjurisdictional respect that one expects from a member of the Emperor's Justice Bureau. I expect you to work with my sheriffs
and not go around swinging your great big authority throughout my little town.
You have made yourself plain. Go in peace,
Ava,
and I shall investigate the matter.
You're kind of in the middle of this crowd, hiding amongst the halflings. And as they turn and sort of walk away in a huff, the Mayor Bunyip and all of his retinue, you are left sort of standing there looking at this paladin.
You know, for a justice, you're kind of bad at talking to people.
Well, I prefer to sing, but I save that for special occasions.
Well, if you sing at the inn, I'm sure you're going to be able to make some money.
Well, that should not be necessary, but I do want to check out and see what kind of pie they have.
Oh, it's pretty good pie. Here, I'll show you the way.
Well, thank you. And what might your name be? I am Harrier, but you may call me Harry.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Harry. I'm Tava.
Thank you for your guidance and kindness.
You're welcome.
As you approach the inn, Tava, you know that this inn, you've been here for several days now and have strangely blended in to the halfling population of Look Up. Anyone who isn't a halfling, including a gnome, doesn't realize that you are not one of the local halflings, and the local halflings just assume that you are someone else's cousin come to visit. And so no one asks a whole lot of questions. But you approach this weird building, Harry. Tava, you are familiar with this. It sits kind of buried in the ground, this strange octagonal shape, but where each of the planes of the, it's sort of half of an octagon, if you will. It's got weird gears. You don't know what sort of machine that a gear made, that is a, you know, at least from the ground floor up, you know, from the ground up looks like half of a perfect octahedron would be. Yet here it sits.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with more of our 13th Age actual play. All music for the show has been used in partnership with BattleBards. Visit BattleBard.com for all your RPG music needs.
And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast.
You've been listening to the Iconic Podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and more information about the show. Thanks for listening.